Amen. All right. Well, a little while ago, Pastor Roma was preaching a sermon talking about righteousness. You remember that? You know? And he stole my notes. No, I'm joking. But, I mean, y'all know that's a very important topic and something that's very near and dear to my heart. It's a course I teach at the Bible College, and Pastor Roma done a bang-up job. So good that I'm tag-teaming him tonight, and we actually talked about this, and I'm going to continue on talking about righteousness a little bit tonight. Is that okay? And we're going to explore righteousness a little bit more. Because let me tell you something. Righteousness is a very big topic that a lot of people struggle with. Amen? And, you know, some of the things that the people struggle with their righteousness is, you know, does God hear me when I pray? You know, that's a big one. You know? People feel bad and beat up about themselves. Oh, I can't be righteous. I'm not good. I'm not perfect. Well, let me tell you something. You know, we live on an earth with a curse. Is anyone here perfect? No. You always got that one in the crowd, eh? Ushers? Jesus is in our midst. No. I'm joking. Turn over your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This is where we're going to start. This is going to be our text for tonight. We're going to look at a few different scriptures. So for the next 7.5 hours, because there's no good hockey games on, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and then the King James Version there, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen? Like that scripture verse right there, that should get you all excited and get you shouting and hollering, and we should be ready to go home right now after reading that one scripture. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So who are we talking about here? Jesus. God made Jesus to be sin for us. You see, let me tell you something. The way this all works is that God did something, Jesus did something, because we did something. Okay? God knew way, way back long ago the things that we would be doing. And it wasn't the best, because human beings, we have a free will. And sometimes we make decisions and we do things that's not always the best. Am I right? And so therefore, we tend to get into trouble sometimes, or we might miss it, or we might mess up, or we might do things that, you know, we probably shouldn't. And sometimes we don't even realize it. But you see, because of that sin nature, because we live on an earth with a curse, and that's what's here, God created a plan of redemption all the way back in the Garden of Eden. You see, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, when Adam and Eve messed up, and they disobeyed God, and did what they did, and they were cast out, God initiated the emergency backup plan, which is a perfect plan of redemption, to bring man back onto God, and to be able to commune with God the way that man was initially intended to. You see, you look in the book of Genesis, you actually see that Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening in the garden. They actually chilled out with the Father. They walked with him. I mean, that's a pretty close relationship there. I mean, you get to hang out, you get to talk with him, you get to walk with him. That's pretty neat. But because of what man did, because of their disobedience to God, there was a big chasm, a big division between God and man. And so therefore, we see what took place for quite some time, to where only God would speak to certain chosen messengers, such as kings and prophets and chosen men and women of God at that time. You see, in the Old Testament, you'll see that people didn't have the same relationship with the Father that we have right now. It was an Old Testament, Old Covenant, old way of things, and they were under the law. Now, this law was put in place as a form of guidelines and rules to keep people in line. The law, right? And it was very action-based. So you had to be good. You had to, you know, do good deeds. You had to be all this and all, you know, and You had to be a certain way. That was the law. Now, I'm not saying that was necessarily bad, because doing good deeds and doing those things is not bad. But that's not your way in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, to God anymore. So because of this old way that there was, when Jesus was sent to this earth, he was sent to end the old way, the old covenant, and give us a brand new covenant, connection, agreement between us and God, that was far better than what existed for those thousands of years before. And that was a part of God's perfect plan of redemption. And because of that perfect plan of redemption that God created and it's initiated, it finished when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and then was gone and raised up and went to heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father in the place of ultimate authority. When those things took place, our lives changed forever. I mean, we are no longer the same, and we have no longer have to be the same because of those things that took place. Now, God already did all the work, so therefore, that means we have a job that we need to do. We have something now. All the work's been done. The heavy lifting has been done. Because when Jesus died on the cross for me and you, that scripture verse there, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus was spotless, perfect sacrifice. But when his blood was shed on Calvary, he took on all of our sin, all of our sickness, all of our disease, all of our yucky. And when he died and went to hell, he brought that there also. That went there with him. Are you following me tonight? And when he went there, the devil thought, okay, great. We have you now, Jesus. That's it. Now the world belongs to me. But the devil is a big dummy. Because what took place was the biggest ruckus that ever took place in the history of ruckuses. Because the Bible tells us that he turned hell upside down. He snatched the keys of death and hell out of Satan's hand, tore the place up, and he made a spectacle of Satan in three different realms: hell, heaven, and an earth. Jesus totally defeated Satan. Now, you might be starting to, gears might start thinking here a little bit. I just said Jesus totally defeated Satan. Yeah, but Pastor Steve, I mean, the devil's still after me. Oh, yeah. But let me tell you something. The only power Satan has over you is the power that you give him. Oh, well, that devil is powerful. No, he's not. The devil's been defeated. A defeated foe is powerless. I tell you, I'm preaching better than what you're shouting right now. Sounds like in a hero movie, slow clap. Sometimes you just gotta let it die. Let's keep going here. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, New Living Translation. Now, this righteousness business we're talking about, just keep your finger there in that scripture verse. So because Satan is a defeated foe, us as believers, as Christians, we have a lot available to us. Because let me tell you something. As believers, as Christians, as God's chosen people, as King's kids, you are never designed to be down and out. You're never designed to be sick and broken, disgusted. That's not the way you were. But like I said, when I first started this, we live on an earth with a curse, and there's things that go around here. But once again, we have authority and we have power, right, to speak to these things. We'll talk about this a little bit more, because authority and righteousness go hand in hand. But now your righteousness, this righteousness that we're talking about, you know, a lot of people and a lot of believers have a very skewed understanding of what righteousness is, because first of all, they don't know where it started, where it came from, how they receive it, and what belongs to them because of it. And once we get the fundamentals down and we get a basic understanding of our righteousness and where it came from. So where it came from was when Jesus died on the cross and all that took place and went to heaven. Well, it was a free gift that was given to us from the Father. Now, righteousness, a very good definition of righteousness, is right standing with God. That's the biblical definition of righteousness. Is, say it with me, right standing with God. Now, when you're in right standing with somebody, what does that mean? Any takers? When you're in right standing, it's all good. That's absolutely right. When you're in right standing with somebody, it's all good. When you're in right standing with the bank or with bank loans or anything like that, and you're in right standing, you're all good. Paid off. It's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? But you see, you are in right standing with God. Righteousness means you are in right standing with God. Now, in all reality, the Bible tells us that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And that is very much so true. Because righteousness is not a works thing. And a lot of times, people think that the more good you do, the more righteous you become. No, that's not it at all. Those good deeds that you do, it needs to be a byproduct of your righteousness, which actually goes hand in hand with something called holiness. Are you listening to me tonight? And so your righteousness is actually a gift from God that gives you so many benefits from Him that once we understand who we are in Christ and what legally belongs to us, your life will be changed forever. Amen? Now, like I said, righteousness is a very misunderstood subject by many in the church, and especially by world religions. And I know Pastor alluded to when he talked about how there's different religions and different things they got to do, like rituals or pay penance, or they sin and they got to do stuff, you know? And I know back in extreme cases, people beat themselves, you know, to pay for sins that they did. And they believe if they whip themselves or hit themselves enough time or something of the sort, that will make them righteous. They'll make them right. Or they have to go pay so much money and they'll get something wiped away or, you know, stuff, something like that. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The devil has people so confused on what legally belongs to them that he has them religiously bound into a works mentality. The only way that you can get to God is through Jesus Christ. And that is by having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your righteousness is not a works thing, but it's a relational thing. Are you listening? And so because you have this relationship with Jesus, and then God is your heavenly Father, you have a relationship with the Father, come on now, all those benefits and all those things belongs to you. I have four kids, and I'm going to tell you something. They know that there's benefits to being my kid. And like, I have my father, and I know there's benefits being a kid of my dad. Right? My kids can come into my house, and they can go into the fridge and then get whatever they want, go into the pantry. They know it. But if a stranger came into my house and started going through stuff, you're like, hey, you don't belong in here. Right? I can walk into my mama's house and I can go into the pantry or into the fridge and there's lots of good stuff in there, I'm telling you. I still might be pushing 40, but I still go into my mama's house and I go into my mama's kitchen still because I'm still a big kid because I know my legal rights as Glenda Hussey and Craig Hussey's son. You know, and I get to go in there, and I get, if I want a slice of bologna, I'm having a slice of bologna right out of the fridge. Amen? Am I right? But now if a stranger came in, some guy just walked on in, first of all, he'd probably be chewed alive by the dogs. But if he survived that attack, no, he still shouldn't be there. He doesn't have the same right. But because of who we are in Christ, we get to come before the Father, and we get all the benefits, baby, that belongs to me and you because of who we are in Christ. Somebody say amen. All right. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8, New Living. Let's start here. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's so true. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. Everyone say garbage. So that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Doesn't matter how hard you try to be a good person, without Christ, it's worthless. That's what it's saying right there. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. Everyone say faith in Christ. Because you know who Jesus is, and because you belong to him, you have that relationship, You become righteous through him. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on? Say it together. Does it say in there good works? Does it say by beating yourself? Does it say by lighting a candle? Any doing penance? For God's way of making us right with himself depends on? Wow. That's getting us somewhere right now. That's a little exciting. There's so many people trying to make themselves right in God's eyes, and they spend more time fretting and stressing out about it. But there's a scripture verse in the Bible that says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Right? So therefore, why are we trying to stress ourselves out but make wondering if we're good enough when all we got to do is put our faith in God, and then when we put our faith in God and we're living that life that we're supposed to be living, it's going to come. Holiness, living a holy life, is a byproduct of righteousness. Now when you hear the word holiness, some people kind of get a little squirmish. They kind of get, oh boy, that's all prim and proper, and I mean, some people go as far as thinking like monks or friars or, I mean, completely like monastery, just, you know, segregated life. Not necessarily is that it, you know. A holy life is a life that is set apart and a life that you're living for God. And you're striving to be more like Christ. Now, the thing is that, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, aiming to be perfect. Doesn't say being perfect. Any, like I said, I asked a question, anyone in there perfect? Put that hand down. His wife is just shaking her head. Oh, we know, we know. We're going to pray for Sister Sharon tonight. We can strive, but see, that's a good target to aim for. I mean, yeah, we all make mistakes. You know, we probably made a mistake tonight. You might be making a mistake right now. I don't know. You know? We all make mistakes. But the thing is that we can ask God for forgiveness and move on from our mistakes. We can go forward. Come on now. We chalk it up to education and say, thank you, Lord. You've made a way for me. And Father, I choose to learn from this and grow. Now, sometimes we tend to circle back and make the same mistake again. But the beauty of it is that we get to ask for God for forgiveness. Now, this is not an excuse for us to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, you know, because apparently that's a definition of insanity. You're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. You know, that's just not the way it is. That's not the way what we should be doing. Instead, we should be striving to do our best in the things of God. Can I get an amen? All right. Now, there's a very great need for God's people to understand righteousness. And not understanding righteousness will greatly hinder your faith because you don't understand or you don't fully know what belongs to you. People are missing out on blessings, they're missing out on healings, they're missing out on prosperity, and they're missing out all the joy and the peace and all those good things that God has for us because they don't understand their position in Christ. So, again, I ask the question, what is righteousness? Well, our text, scripture verse, tells us, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And this is exactly what Christ did. Righteousness, like I said, is one of the most misunderstood topics in Scripture and in the Bible. But righteousness is the foundation of our relationship with God. Because understanding our righteousness, we know what legally belongs to me and you. In Romans 1:17, it says, "The just shall live by faith." Well, that can also mean the righteous, that word just can also mean that, shall live by faith. So let me ask you this question. How many people in here live by faith? How many faith people do we have in here? Raise those hands. You live by faith. You're faith people. All right. So when I ask the question, how many righteous people do I have in here? Let me see. Because if you're a faith person, you got to be a righteous person. Come on now. Because the two go hand in hand. This is the exact reason for redemption, to get us in right standing with God, in that place of everything is A-okay. So, righteousness, like I said, the definition of righteousness is what? Right standing with God. Good, someone's paying attention here. It means the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of fear, shame, or guilt. We don't have to come before God and be afraid of him. But we come before God with a holy reverence, but we're not afraid of him. We get to come before God boldly and confidently, but not arrogantly. Are you listening? My kids can come before me, and they come, and they're not like, "Oh, Dad, can we please?" Trust me, my kids want something. "Hey, Dad! Hey! I need a new hockey stick. I just bought you one. I broke it. Go get a job, kid." No. Yeah. Or Allie comes in. "Hey, Dad." "Yes, Allie. I want a cookie." "All right, my love. You can have whatever you want. You're my baby." You know. But my kids come boldly. They don't come with hesitation or, "Oh, Dad, you know, if you got some time, I'm just wondering if I can..." Doesn't matter. Most times is when I'm on the phone, they come asking me stuff. You know, it's like, "Just hold on a second. I'm Dad's on the phone," you know, type thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever experienced those things? Yeah, I mean, the kids just come boldly. The same thing is with us before the Father, is that we don't come hesitantly, but we come to God because we are the righteousness of God in him. We can come before the Father with boldness. And we get to come to the Father because we are in right standing with him. We're in the place we're supposed to be with him. Why? Because Jesus made us that way. Amen? Woohoo! Without understanding righteousness, you shouldn't be able to fellowship with the Father. That's a scary thing. Because if you're not walking in righteousness, you can't properly commune with him. Because you're doing it out of a place of fear, out of a place of feeling guilty or inadequate. I've heard people say before, it's like, "Man, I can't go to church. I can't, you know, I got to get my life cleaned up." So that's like washing the dishes before you wash the dishes. You know what I'm saying? Right? Some of you women are laughing. But it's true. My mother-in-law, she literally washes the dishes before she washes the dishes. I'm like, "Why are you putting," like, she'll actually go in the sink and rinse everything off and wipe it all out and stuff, right? And then she puts it in the dishwasher. Anyone else do that? I'm going to pray for you. I mean, you're clean. I give them to you. They're clean. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. Once we've accepted Jesus, All of our sin, sickness, and disease was washed away. It no longer belongs to us. Salvation is a beautiful thing. It brought us back onto the Father where we need to be. We can stand before God without feeling inferior or scared. We can stand before God without judgment and condemnation. We don't have to feel belittled coming to the Father. Why? Because He loves us. And He's got so much good things in store for me and you, amen? That we've only barely scratched the surface of understanding what He's got for me and you. Now, to be right with God, I mean, there had to have been a big sacrifice. And Jesus made that sacrifice for me and you. God did all this through Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for me and you so that we could be righteous, so that we could be set free, so that we could be delivered, so that we would not have to be bound, so that we would not have to be dictated by the devil and his nasty schemes. Even though he might try to attack you, even though he might try and mess with you, you got to remind him, okay, Mr. Devil, yeah, okay, you're the devil, big whoop. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You can't touch this. I'm in right standing with God. I'm a king's kid. I'm blessed. I have more than enough. The Bible says my body's healed, healthy, and whole. Come on. I have joy in my life. Why? I am the righteousness of God. But, you know, sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, woe is me. Life's horrible. And then the devil's like, yep, sure is. Right? But Jesus on the other side be like, smarten up. Look at the nail prints in my hands and my feet. Look what I did for you. So you don't have to be like that. Don't you know who you are? That you're the righteousness of God? That you're blessed? Come on. How many blessed people I got in here? Sometimes we get confused, too, of trying to understand what righteousness is, but we need to also look at what it isn't. Now, righteousness is not about doing good works like tithing, praying, loving, and serving others. That's not righteousness. Oh, it got quiet in here. But those things are good things, but that's not the only things, and that doesn't necessarily make you righteous. What makes you righteous? We already talked about it. The relationship with God through Jesus. That's what makes you righteous. And then all these other things follow suit. Then you do them not out of condemnation or being scared, or you don't do them out of being told to or because you got to. You do it because you love God. And it's because it's a relationship thing. Are you listening? I mean, there's many scenarios in life that we can compare this to. But I know me and my wife, we love our kids. And we don't want to see them to go without. And we want to see our kids have more than enough. So we bless them. And I'm sure all you parents in here are the same way. You buy stuff for your kids. You love on your kids. You make sure they have more than enough. Right? You've done that. Grandparents, you know, you do the same thing. Aunties, uncles, that's what you do. I mean, you love your kids. I got the beautiful little niece. I love that little thing. Oh, my goodness. I love my kids. I adore my kids. I love my niece, too. You know, when you become an uncle for this first time, and, you know, you got this little sweet little thing. I mean, she's just so precious. I love my little niece. You know, and your heart just swells, right? You just want to do good things for them. You just want to bless them and just, you know, love on them, you know? And so, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? He doesn't want us going without. So, it's not about doing good works, but it's about a relationship. You can't earn righteousness. Therefore, Romans 5:1, let's look at that. We are righteous by faith, not works. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified by who we believe in, Jesus. That's how we're justified. That's how we're made righteous. Righteousness is not an action. It's not produced by an action or a deed. It's produced by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't believe the old lies of the devil trying to convince you that you've got to be going around on your belly, you know, begging for forgiveness or begging for this or begging for that. No, no, no. That's not what we do. God loves me and you. We don't have to go doing all these crazy things looking for forgiveness. We just got to come to terms and be like, Father, I commit my life over to you. I choose you. And then boom, you get an instant download of the righteousness of God because you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now the crazy thing is with your righteousness is that once you receive it, you're completely as righteous as you're going to be. You can't grow your righteousness, but you can increase your sense of it. And that's what believers need to do. That's what we need to be continually doing. You can't grow righteousness. You know, like you can grow a tomato in a garden or cucumbers or vegetables, onions, whatever, potatoes that you grow. You know, you put the work in, you nurture it and all those things. No, that's not the way it is. Not when it comes to righteousness. Soon as you become born again, boom, you're blessed with all the righteousness you're ever going to have. When you get to heaven, you'll be no more righteous when you get to heaven what you are right now. But you have a much better understanding, right? So as believers, we have a job that we're supposed to do is to increase our sense of righteousness. And that comes by getting into the Word, by seeing what the Lord does for us and seeing understanding what He does for us, getting to know Him, because how do you grow a relationship? You got to communicate. You got to get to know that person, you know? In order for a relationship to be healthy, there has to be good, open communication. Well, it's the same thing with the Father. Now, in order to have a good relationship with the Father, there has to be a good communication with Him. You talk, you pray to Him, you read His Word, you be around like-minded people, you go to church, you get hooked up, you listen to the messages. You know, all those things are things that help you grow. And then when you start realizing, wait a minute, because I'm the righteousness of God, all these things belong to you, you start understanding that you have power in prayer. You start understanding that you're no longer bound by sin and sickness. It's no longer, you no longer have to feel condemned. You no longer have to go without. Because you start realizing, wait a minute, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ and I'm a king's kid, I get to reign in life. Well, what does that mean? You're a king's kid. And you get to dictate your life. You get to talk to those things that be not as they were. You know, those things that shouldn't be there. You got to tell them it's got to go. You control those things. A lot of times we leave our life up to what we call chance or by destiny. No. As believers, we follow the plan and the purpose that God has set before me and you. God did not design me and you to be down and out and broken, disgusted. He designed me and you to be blessed. He designed me and you to be well, to be happy. How many happy people in here? Are you sure? All right, remind your face. Need smiles. Amen. Man, the Lord is so good. It gets me excited. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt, inferiority, and as if sin never existed. It also, like we already talked about, it also means upright and right standing. Now, we got to understand something too. When it comes to righteousness, it's not a state of achievement. Now, some of you younger folks in here might understand this a little bit better if I'll break it down a little bit. Now, I don't play video games. I don't really like them that much. But some of you, those of you in here that play video games, or you might have played video games, or you might play, well, whatever. But in video games, you do certain things, and you get something called achievements. So the more you do, the more achievements you unlock. Right? And so you spend all this time playing this game to unlock all these achievements, and then in the end, you know, you win a prize, or you get whatever, right? But it's a video game, and they just say congratulations after you spend like 75 years of your life playing this thing, right? I could never understand it. I'm sorry, I don't get it. But the kids get it, right? It's, but I unlocked this achievement. So what does that get you? And they just got that blank, yeah. You get an extra skin. I got skin. I got a lot of extra skin. Like, you know, to me, that's not an achievement. What are y'all laughing at? Shut up. Not supposed to laugh. No. I mean, and they go through all this. Righteousness is not something you unlock to increase your Christian walk in the sense that, yay, it's an achievement. Yay, we did it. No. Your righteousness is not something that you do something to earn. You don't sit down for 36 hours and read certain scriptures and then you got, you know, a righteousness achievement award. That's not the way it works. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, boom, you're righteous. Now you got to start learning it and understanding it, and you got to get moving on there. Amen? You still with me? You cannot earn it. You receive it because it's a free gift. Hallelujah. I like free gifts. Many people fail in their spiritual walk because they do not understand the righteousness that was taught by the prophets and the apostles. So many of God's people have battles lost because the enemy condemned and judged, and they feel that they were not good enough, when the fact is that God is right there and that their faith in Christ is what gets them through. It's not your faith in yourself or your own ability, but rather your faith in God that helps you persevere and get through because of who you are in Him and because of who you are in Christ is all those good things. You're blessed. You're the righteousness of Him. Righteousness and faith go hand in hand. It has to. It has no choice. That's the way it goes. Some believers don't even believe or don't even think that their prayers are heard by God unless there's some form of self-righteous. I'm not good enough, so God don't hear me. That's not true. But the Bible tells us, because there comes to a point in our lives when we become knowledgeable and we know enough to know that we need to know better. When you're a baby Christian, there's a lot of grace on your life. And even when you're not born again yet, there's still grace on your life because we serve such a merciful God. But let me tell you something. God hears your prayers. But now it also says that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now He hears you. Not on your own righteousness, but on His righteousness. Not because of your good deeds He hears you. It's because of what Christ did He hears you. And He knows you. He knows what you're asking for. He knows what you need even before you do. Amen? But we just thank Him for it. We just thank Him for the answer. And we continue to thank Him. You see, sometimes we get that a little confused, is that we got to keep, you know, God don't have Alzheimer's, so He doesn't forget. But sometimes I think we forget that He doesn't forget. Because we go and we petition God for the same thing 17 times in a row. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. Oh, please. Oh. But that's not the way that works. When we come before the Father, we come and we petition Him, we ask Him, and then what do we do? And then what else do we do? And then what do we continually doing? Even though it might take a little while for the answer to come, or for whatever the outcome is, what do we continue to do? We continue to thank Him. Why? Because we're crazy? No, why? Because we believe. Because why? Because we're in faith. Right? Because that's who we are. Because as believers, we get to come before Him boldly in faith. Right? But not only that, we get to come before Him boldly because we are the righteousness of God. We already talked about this. That's good, eh? All right. We're going to conclude here real soon. I mean, we still got 2 hours left, but it's okay. We've already discussed how you become righteous. We become righteous at the very instantaneous moment that we accept Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. Do we deserve it? Not really. But does that stop God from giving it to us? No. We're so undeserving of his love and his grace and his mercy and the gifts that he has for us. But our God is so good that he wants to make sure that we are blessed. He wants us to make sure that we are his kids and that we have more than enough. He wants to make sure that we are given the tools and the abilities and the things that we need to be successful in this life. Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are not supposed to be going without. When people look at you, they need to see, man, oh man, just look at that guy. He is so blessed. Wherever you go, big smile on your face. They don't know what you're going through, but listen, you're the righteousness of God in Christ, so it doesn't matter what you're going through. Because God's got you. Come on now. Yeah, you're going to have bad days. Yeah, life is going to happen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When life is happening? Yeah. You know, when life happens. But let me tell you something. God is still on the throne, and you are still the righteousness of God in Christ. When you don't feel righteous, guess what? You're still righteous. When things might not be going your way, you're still righteous. When you might not feel like, you know, being all Christian-y that day, you're still righteous. Come on now. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are blessed. You have power in prayer. You have all those things that belong to you. And some other time, we'll talk more about that. But I mean, there's so many things, the benefits of righteousness is huge. And we're going to talk about this in Bible school. We're going to have a full 4 weeks talking about this. And there's so much information in there, your mind's just going to go, you know? And it's going to be so exciting. Amen? Everyone stand to your feet. I'm going to ask the question again. How many righteous people do I have in here tonight? I got a room full of righteous people. How many blessed people do I have in here? How many people full of love do I have in here? Yeah, that's good. Because of who you are in Christ, because of your righteousness, because of your right standing with God, you have all those things. And like I said, you might not always feel like it, but you got it anyhow. But every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're in this place and you're struggling with who you are in Christ, for whatever reason, you don't feel good enough. You don't feel that great when it comes to the things of God. I don't care if you've grew up in church or this is your first time or whatever. Let's just face it. We all go through struggles. We all face obstacles in our lives. But if you're in this place tonight, within the sound of my voice, you'd be like, well, Pastor Steve, you know, things aren't just clicking between me and God the way it should be. And if that's you, and you want to make things work between you and God, I want you to slip up your hand real quick. I want to make sure everyone is A-okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yep, hands around this room. Thank you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to say a prayer, and you're going to repeat after me. Tonight, we're going to rededicate our lives to Him, and we're going to make sure we're connected up with the Father. And we're going to make a commitment that we are going to start living out that life that He has set before us. That life of good. That perfect plan. That perfect will. It's not always going to be easy. But He's going to be right there with you every step of the way. And the benefits of being a king's kid, being belonging to God, it's huge.